Communicating Disaster Risk Reduction Science and More with Francisco Fribronio Peña. Active citizens build resilient cities.
Good energy or bad energy? The energy dilemma is without a doubt one of the major concerns to fulfill global energy security for the next 10 years, based on the fact that the world today is energy hungry more than ever before. The stress of shifting from dirty to clean energy poses a threat to oil-dependent economies. Iceland, Sweden, and Costa Rica lead the way in the switch to renewable energy, such as solar, wind, hydropower, and geothermal energy. The positive impacts of renewable energy on the environment, well-being, technology, economy, research, and innovation sector are well documented, going into the right direction to mitigate climate change and achieve the 2030 Global Agenda and the Paris Agreement. The common misunderstanding that clean energies are expensive is fueled by three factors: the influence of the eternal carbon established brands in the market, politics, and lack of information. However, sustainable energies are becoming cheaper and more competitive thanks to the fast-growing role of new technologies in the market. It's time to go green. Welcome to Communicating Disaster Risk Reduction Science and More weekly podcast. My name is Rossella Biagi and I will be your host for today. This week we will have a double header show. First, we will talk about the types and differences between dirty versus clean energies, followed by a full explanation of solar panels. Francisco, the mic is yours.
Good afternoon, Rossella, Radiofonica, ladies and gentlemen. I'm very excited to be back with you again. Let me start the show by asking you a question, Rossella.
Again?
Yes, because you have a background in international communication and journalism doesn't mean that you cannot answer a question or give an opinion on the topic, right?
Okay, I'll do my best.
So, what is dirty energy for you?
Dirty energies are energies that pollute the environment coming from the fossil fuel industry.
Good job. And how was fossil fuel formed?
With the dinosaurs?
Well, that's partially true.
I got an idea!
Coal, petroleum, and natural gas are considered fossil fuels. Fossil fuels were formed by natural processes from buried dead plants and animals over millions of years. In one hand, we have coal. Before the dinosaurs, many giant plants died in swamps, and over millions of years, the plants were buried under water and dirt. Then the heat and tectonic pressure turned the dead plants into coal. On the other hand, about 300 to 400 million years ago, plants and animals were buried on the ocean floor. Over time, they were covered by layers of silt and sand, buried deeper and deeper, and the enormous heat and pressure turned them into oil and gas. Today, these resources are obtained in different ways to be used in the fossil fuel industry. For example, coal is the shiny black rock that is used for barbecues and is found in coal mines, while to reach oil and gas deposits is complicated because companies have to drill at least 2 kilometers deep.
Can you tell us more about the influence of coal, its role in the energy production sector, and potential environmental impacts?
The top 5 biggest coal mines geographical distribution are 2 in the United States, 2 in China, and 1 in Mozambique. The North Antelope Rochelle mine, located in Wyoming, USA, is the largest coal mine in the world, 11,300 hectares. That means twice as big as the Manhattan Island, 2.5 times of Bermuda, or the equivalent to 28,000 soccer stadiums. Together with Black Thunder, a close-by coal mine to North Antelope, these mines produce 1/5 of the coal used to generate electricity in the United States, just to understand the dimensions and importance of both. Now, once the material is extracted, it goes into a haul truck. A haul truck is very similar to a dump truck, but in monster size, like a monster truck. Have you ever seen a monster truck before?
I believe we don't have those in Italy, but they are quite popular in the US.
Exactly. We also have some monster truck shows in Mexico, but that's another story. Anyway, what happens if rain falls on piles of coal?
I have no idea.
The haul truck bed has holes to drain the water, meaning that heavy metals like arsenic and lead can flush out of the coal to the environment. Issues such as land use, waste management, and environmental pollution are caused by mining and processing of coal and the use of products based on coal.
And what about petroleum and gas?
To give you a general idea, oil can be extracted from pumps, a very common practice in Texas or Saudi Arabia, or from oil platforms on the sea, for instance, the Gulf of Mexico, the North Sea, or the Arctic Ocean. The extraction of natural gas and oil relies on the use of different pressures, chemicals, and tools. Both oil and gas can be obtained from one platform, and their transportation to inland oil refineries and petrochemical plants may depend on the location of the platform. It can be done through pipelines if it's close to the shore or in shipping containers. Then, the oil is heated to a certain temperature to extract different types of components and produce materials. For example, light and middle distillates are used to produce plastics, gasoline, or diesel, while the heavy distillates produce heavy fuel oil, wax, and asphalt. In most cases, natural gas is used for heating and electricity generation. One of the environmental risks when exploiting oil and gas are oil spills. Back in 2010, the Gulf of Mexico experienced the Deepwater Horizon oil spill, also referred to the British Petroleum oil disaster, considered the largest marine oil spill in the history of petroleum and the worst environmental disaster in the US history. It took 87 days to contain the flow, about 200 million gallons of crude oil flushed to the sea. Immediate impacts of the extensive damage to marine and wildlife habitats and fishing industries were reported. Tourism hit its lowest point in decades. The permanent damage caused by British Petroleum cannot be undone even by paying a $60 billion fine in liabilities. Despite the Gulf of Mexico looks clean and seems to be flourishing again, it is not clear yet what the long-term environmental consequences in the area will be.
We will see. But now it's time to go listen to My Voice 120. We will be back very soon in Communicating Disaster Risk Reduction Science and More.
Hi, my name is Giulio Castelli.
Hi, I'm Beatrice Laurita. We are PhD students of the Water Harvesting Lab from the Department in Agriculture, Food and Forestry Systems at the University of Florence, Italy.
The laboratory is coordinated by Professor Elena Bresci. We investigate water management in arid areas. In particular, we focus on the technologies that allow the collection and conservation of rainwater, runoff and floods.
The laboratory has been established in 2017 after a long experience in development cooperation in Africa and Latin America. Water harvesting techniques have been practiced for 5,000 years and they still represent the only source of water supply in most of the arid areas of the world.
They allow the use of low-value water, such as rain, runoff and floods, that instead of being lost, became available for human consumption and agriculture, reducing the pressure on groundwater and fresh water.
Water harvesting is a tool to effectively reduce drought risk and a measure of climate change adaptation. In rural areas, water harvesting represents a source of livelihood for local communities, while in urban areas, the use of rooftop water collection represents an additional source of water for domestic use.
Water management in arid areas has been based on water harvesting for centuries. It is just after the European colonization that it started to be based on perennial rivers and groundwater that now are overexploited.
Today, it is still widely applied at local scale, but it is still not enough included in mainstream water management policies.
Our research group is quite active on the topic. We develop projects, publications, courses and seminars with national and international partners. As an African proverb says, you have to catch rain when it falls.
Find us on Google by writing Water Harvesting Lab. And remember, active citizens build resilient cities.
We are back in Communicating Disaster Risk Reduction, Science and More. It seems that water harvesting techniques can make a real difference in arid and water scarcity regions, right?
If you live in an area of limited water resources, you want to make sure that you have enough water for your daily activities. I think it's a great cost-benefit solution in comparison to other major civil works like dams or artificial channels.
That's correct. Let's talk about clean energies. Is it clean energies or renewable energies?
According to the German politician Lakoff and linguistic Welling, there is a lot of controversy and debate going on the use of the term clean energies, because some countries associate clean energy with renewables, plus nuclear power and new coal plants with lower carbon emissions, whereas renewable energies are energies collected from renewable resources, naturally unlimited, such as sunlight, wind, rain, tides, waves, and geothermal heat.
What are the main advantages of using renewable energies?
Easy. Renewable energies improve our health, environment, and economy. Let me tell you why. I'm going to use the example of my friend Omero. He was a regular smoker with a non-healthy diet. He never ate vegetables or salads, smoked one pack of cigarettes per week, and barely performed any exercise. It is scientifically proven that smoking affects sport performance, so even if he was willing to exercise, he got tired very quickly. This lifestyle was only going to bring him health problems and permanent visits to the doctor for the rest of his life. But he actually changed. He quit smoking and got back in shape. At the beginning, he had to make an investment to improve his quality of life by buying healthy foods and going to the gym regularly. He remained disciplined, actually still running on his regime, and now he feels better than ever before. He hasn't seen the doctor for years. It's the same when countries shift to renewable energies. The production of CO2 emissions drops dramatically, as well as air and water pollution. The most challenging part of the process is the beginning, because it requires more investment, in particular changing all habits. But that is the best financial and environmental friendly strategy in the energy market today. A recent study by Stanford University predicts that the world could be empowered entirely by renewable energies in just 20 to 40 years from now. It's very likely to happen.
Diversified generation of energy is a key element to mitigate the effects of fossil fuel price fluctuations, the rising world temperatures, and the strength of the economy in the short, middle, and long term. The shift to renewable energies cannot be stopped. As a society, we should know the products available in the market and take advantage of potential grants and free tax packages provided by several governments.
If you enjoyed the episode, stay tuned to the second show of the day. Everything you wanted to know about solar panels, here in Communicating Disaster Risk Reduction Science and More. And remember, active citizens
build resilient cities.
Goodbye.
Communicating Disaster Risk Reduction Science and More with Francisco Fragonio Peña. Active citizens build resilient cities.
Faccio radio perché mi piace pensare che nel mio piccolo possa aiutare le persone.
Faccio radio perché voglio che la mia voce venga ascoltata.
Faccio radio perché amo l'informazione.
Faccio radio perché mi tiene compagnia.
Faccio radio perché credo che la buona comunicazione esista ancora e debba partire da noi.
Faccio radio perché amo fare radio.
Festival delle radio universitarie italiane. Per chi ama fare radio. Cagliari 10, 11, 12 maggio 2018. Scopri il programma su fru18.it.